episode 262 of the AFK Podcast for the week of April 6, 2020. I'm your host, Flynn, and this is the PC Gaming Podcast from Gamers Like You. Joining me this week are my co-hosts, Curlin.
What's going on, everybody?
Logan.
Hey.
And Whitney. Hey, Whitney, do you have push to talk on?
Oops, there we go. Hello.
Hello. Well, guys, this last couple weeks, I've just been playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It's double XP weekend, and I think I'm about 10 season levels away from 100 and capping out and getting all the rewards for this season. So that's what I'll be playing all night tonight. I'm going to try to get to level 100. Other than that, I've been playing the Division 2 and building gear sets, different gear sets for different things, and searching for named weapons and exotics. And I did dip a little bit into Dead Space 2. It's a game that I've owned for a long time, but I've never played, or not Dead Space 2, 1. I've never played any of the Dead Space games all the way through. I started 1 back in the day and started to play it. I loved it, but it was a time right before I was getting a new rig, and I said I was going to start it on the new rig, and then I got the new rig and never did. But I'm playing it now, and I'm just in the very, very beginning of it still, but I'm going to play it all the way through for sure. And that's been my playlist for the past week. Curlin, what about you? What's on your playlist?
Man, I love that series.
Dead Space? Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I really, really hope that EA gets their thing together and gets the team back together long enough to make a fourth one. But we'll see.
Yeah, I was in a space survival horror mood after watching the Doom movie on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But as far as playing, I did get a little bit of Borderlands 3 in today. But other than that, I've been mostly just playing with tinkering and trying to figure out how I'm going to capture what and where. I have like 4 rigs here that I've been messing with. I've kind of repurposed a couple of things already. And just been kind of trying to crank through some YouTube content for the new channel. And other than that, that's been the bulk of it. Oh, I did pick up Resident Evil 3, and I was going to do a video on that, you know, showing from start to finish how to get it running. But I haven't had a chance to kick that off just yet.
Yeah, I've been enjoying your videos, watching Penguins on Proton, and learning a lot. I know I've had a couple questions when you did your first video. I'm like, why is he doing that? Well, why does he do that for? Because I know what Proton is, but I don't know how it works or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I was putting questions for you in the Discord that, you know, Proton is a Valve's spin on wine, right?
Yeah, well, what they do is they more or less just pull the source and then add customizations to make it easier for you to get your game running out of the box, instead of having to do a bunch of different things manually, you know, by just going to Wine HQ, downloading whatever version you need for your distribution, and having to manually tweak a lot of different things. So
I'm real interested in learning more about this game mode thing that you were, the command line you were putting in at the beginning of Steam before you run your games. What's that all about?
Funny you should ask. I actually have a video on that particular thing dropping, I think, tomorrow morning. But for the early birds, essentially what it does is, you know, in Linux, there are a lot of different CPU schedulers that do different things. You have like on demand, which will like ramp up your CPU clocks and voltage and stuff based on load. You have power save, which will try to keep everything as performant as possible, but use as little energy. And then you have like performance modes, which will like crank everything to the max. And what game mode does is it'll change whatever your distribution's default governor to performance mode, to make sure that you get the best performance when your game starts. And then when you close the game, it'll flip it back to where it was before. Pretty handy for laptop users. It's also good for benchmarking. In a lot of cases, you can see a little bit of a difference, but that's more or less what it is, what it does. At Feral Interactive, they actually have a couple of games. The latest two Tomb Raider titles come to mind, where if you don't have the CPU governor set to performance when you click start, it'll be like, hey, you know, like you're not running, you're gonna be running slow. so you can use that to get around it. In some cases, it may still complain, but when you actually kick the game on, it'll still flip. That's more or less what game mode is.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that video. Hey. And again, that's Penguins on Proton on YouTube. There will be a link in the show notes. And there's a link over at the AFKpodcast.net if you have a hard time finding it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yep. Logan, what about you?
I've been playing pretty much everything. So my main go-to is still StarCraft II. It's insane how much I'm still playing that. What is it, 6-7 years now after release? Like, I'll play 2, 3, 4 games of that every single day. It's weird. It's like it's such a good, long-lasting game like that. But I decided I really have to force myself just to start trying to play other games, because I'll get in this habit and just keep doing it. So I loaded up Mega Man X, which is a variation of different, or a combination of different Mega Man versions. I played it for maybe a half an hour. I played 8 and 9 for a total of 10 minutes each, possibly. Just utter trash for me. I played the original for about 15, maybe 20 minutes before I realized that nostalgia is a hell of a drug, and that's good. I'll leave that back in history. I finished the original Mega Man when I was like in my younger years with a buddy. We rented the Nintendo system and, you know, pulled an all-nighter, and between him and I, we finished the whole thing. And I remember it was an awesome game at the time. And
yeah.
And when you're old and slow, it's not so fun anymore.
No, it's a lot harder than you remember.
Yeah. So I did the tutorial of Call of Duty Warzone. I got my account all linked up to play with some buddies who are playing on PlayStation, but I just haven't allocated the time to get into and do an actual game in there. It looks awesome. It ran fine. You know, just a matter of setting that up and getting ready to go. Played a bit of Minecraft with my son. I've discovered Minecraft just isn't for me in creative. I need to go hardcore. I need to make sure that I have that ability to die in it. And have serious consequences, or else I feel like it's a game where you're on uber cheat mode and you can't do anything that has any kind of consequences. So in Iron Man mode, I think it's where it is for me, or at the least just like a regular mode, but creative doesn't do it for me. I'm not a Lego kind of person. I'm not a building kind of person. I need to generate a story. I need to do things to work towards a goal. And yeah, I get that like building is all of that, but it's not the same for me. So, you know, I played a bit with him, and I'll still play with him off and on whenever he wants, but it's not fun for me. And Fortnite. Fortnite is back on the menu. Unfortunately, with all that's been going on, it's one of the diversion games that he plays with his cousins. So I've gotten in there and I play from time to time with him and his friends and his cousins and whatnot. So it's fun. I'm not good. I need to put in some extra hours practice so I can kick his butt again, but yeah, that's been on the menu for the last week, so it's been good.
Cool. Whitney, what about you?
Well, I've been playing the same old, like, Final Fantasy. I finally hopped into one of the extreme raids, which was Red Ultima. And oh my goodness, this fight is so hard. We popped in last night, and just, I was crying. There was so much death. And I'm like, how much harder can they make this stuff? But I've started watching the other raids, and it's just, I don't know, it's all downhill from here. But other than that, I start replaying games like Portal and Portal 2. I still love Portal 1. So I've been going through that and seeing how fast I could clear through that. I haven't really been playing a whole lot. A lot of Two Point Hospital, actually. It was like a hospital simulation game. I'm a pretty big sucker for those sorts of games. It's just good time killer.
I was going to say, that is so apropos right yeah, now.
Honestly, if you combine that with the Division 2.
I'm going to be playing the Division 2. I got the Division 2. I've been meaning to.
Yeah, it's kind of surreal when you go to the that center at the Jarvis Center, whatever it is, in New York, where they set up that military hospital. And it looks like that in the game, only it's all infected.
Oh, wow. That's pretty crazy.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I played Division 2, actually. Might have to do a video on that pretty soon. Yeah.
You should. But I remember way back, like, Black Friday, Christmas time, I picked up a sewing machine.
Yeah.
I started sewing.
Masks?
Masks?
Yeah. I had a whole bunch of fabric and whatnot that I'd, like, thrifted over time. And I'm like, you know what? I've been meaning to sew. There's no better time than now to actually learn how to sew. I knew a little bit way back when I was a teenager and my mom forced me to learn how to sew my square dancing dress. We won't talk about that. But other than that, I hadn't really had much sewing experience. So I couldn't find any video or any instruction manual for my sewing machine. So I ended up having to call my grandmother. And that was a lot of fun because trying to do that verbally over the phone and send her like pictures through the phone, it just because she can't do video, that was a lot of fun. But she got me up and running.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's real cool. So how many have you made? Are you just making them for you or are you making them for family?
Well, if he's going to go to my brother because he doesn't have any. So just a few. But the rest, I'm up to about 25.
Cool.
So, and then that's going to, other than that, it's all going to be donated locally.
Cool. Yeah, I had a shelf in my basement that's got bottled water and like long-term freeze-dried food for, which I've had here forever for like if we get snowed in because we have had the occasional blizzard. I just wanted to make sure we had something in the house, some sort of emergency food stash. So, and I was looking on the shelf and I've got like lanterns and an AM/FM radio on there. And I found a box of N95 masks, just a small box of N95 masks that I didn't know I had in my basement. And there's only four in there. It's not, like I said, it's not a very big box. I probably bought them at one point to do drywall and bought the wrong thing. But they were up on the shelf, so I was happy to find those because those are really hard to find right now, the N95 masks. I know at work we're back ordered on them, and they're telling us to use them for up to 5 days.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at least, like, I can't say they're really reusable, but at least it's something, and if you take care of it right, I actually struggled. I'm actually pretty happy to see, though, the community around here have been making a lot of masks. And it's actually hard to get elastic, which was, I won't say it's a bummer because it's all going for obviously a very great cause, but it's kind of upped the challenge a little bit with learning how to sew because I have to learn how to sew the straps too. And that's like pretty small and I'm like, please. And yeah, but.
Yeah. Cool project though.
Oh, it is. It's been fun. Been watching The Hobbit meanwhile.
The Hobbit, the cartoon or the cartoon from the 70s or the newer Hobbit?
The cartoon from the 70s is going to come a little bit later. I'm watching the newer movies. Like I got through the Lord of the Rings, the extended edition, though I had to watch the last one in French. Oh. Yeah, it was a little weird. I couldn't get in English and it was only coming up in French. And
did you have subtitles?
Well, at least I know the movie. Yeah, I was able to turn subtitles on. So, but at least like I haven't
I was going
to
ask if you were bilingual.
No. If it was Spanish though, I could have done that fairly well.
That's funny. I've been trying to learn German, so I've been watching German films.
That's the way to do it.
I've watched Downfall like twice because it has to be a German film that I will keep my attention. So there's two movies about Hitler that I watched. One was a serious like biography type movie with Downfall, which is an excellent movie about him in the bunker at the end of World War II. And it's kind of from the perspective of his secretary. And the other one I watched was Guess Who's Back, which is a comedy. And it's all in German. And it is fucking hilarious. Hitler wakes up in the area of where the bunker was, but it's 2014. So he starts walking around and he's saying the shit that he says. And people just think he's trying to be funny and they're laughing at him. And he ends up getting a TV show, and it's just, it has a very serious ending. It has a great ending, kind of like, hey, remember that we voted this guy in. It can happen again, so make sure it doesn't happen again. Type message at the end, because it's for the majority of the movie, it is a comedy. But like I said, at the end, they kind of say, hey, we know we're laughing about this stuff right now, but don't forget this shit happened, and it was on us because we voted him in. Type thing. So it had a really cool ending too. But it's a funny movie. It's on Netflix. It's called Guess Who's Back. It's all in German, so you'll have to read the subtitles, which I had to keep pausing because I would laugh so hard that I couldn't read what was on the screen. So I had to pause it because I didn't know what happened right after he said what he said. So yeah, I definitely highly recommend that. So on to the news. And what we've got, I'm going to switch scenes here. There we go. Near Replicant is in the works for PC and consoles, offering upgrading and upgraded versions of Near that was released for PS3 in Japan. So that's pretty cool. I know Curlin and Whitney, you guys were both really into this game, right?
Yes. Well, I kind of came into the series with the latest game, which is Automata. There were a gang of other Near titles, and Drakengard, which is like how the whole series ties together. Actually, there's a couple of videos out there by what's that girl's name, Valkyrie Aurora, on YouTube, and she like literally strings the whole timeline together in a very awesome
she does
way. Yeah, and I was listening to her and I was like, oh my god, this is fucking dope.
But, I'm the same as you. I got in on this with the latest game.
Yeah. So now that they're remastering one of the older titles, I'm like, I'm here for it. So I can't wait for this to drop.
So this is a prequel?
Timeline wise, I believe it is a prequel to the game that we just played.
Okay.
I think the way that I understand it, there's like one game that's like way, way, way into the future, and then there's this remake that's being done that's before Nier Automata. So
right,
I'm trying to remember it from her video, and there's a lot of story to this like whole storyline, and it's really hard to remember. So I'm really excited they're going to remake it, because I'm like, oh, now I definitely have a whole lot more motivation to finish Nier Automata. Not that like, I don't know, just it's a lot to take in at times. And some of the fights are super stressful.
Yeah. Which playthrough are you on?
I'm on A2.
Oh, okay. So you're on the third one. Good.
Yeah.
You're almost done.
Oh, see, like, but it's so good. I'm at the part where I had to go into the desert and fight the big giant, like, balls that come down. I think you know what fight I'm talking about. Yeah. And that was, like, the most frustrating thing.
Yeah, it recently went on sale on PlayStation, so I was like, hey, $10, you know, I can kind of buy it again, and yeah, I'll do that, and I'll play it again. You know,
I
haven't started it yet, but that's definitely on my list of things to do. So,
well, E3 is 2021 is apparently scheduled. The Entertainment Software Association has announced dates for E3 2021, saying the next version of the giant gaming trade show will run June 15th through the 17th, 2021. But what do they mean by reimagined?
I can imagine that it's probably going to be different than what we've traditionally expected in years past. You know, they weren't very specific, that's for damn sure.
Are they talking about maybe doing it virtually?
That may be the smartest move, to be honest. I've heard of people going to big conferences and then coming back with conference crud. So, you know, with what's going on now and there's no particular fix in sight, that may be the way to go, at least until we can get a fix for this thing, you know?
Yeah, so they were saying that, you know, what reimagined means, they haven't really well defined it yet, but the general consensus is that it's going to move to more of an online type event, which is interesting. I mean, we said this a few weeks ago, like, you know, what we're going through now is going to change the way that a lot of things operate. E3 is going to be one of them. I don't know if anyone here is a wrestling fan. I used to be back in the 90s, not so much anymore. But I was very curious this past weekend because they had WrestleMania still went on, but no audience. And let me tell you, it was uncanny valley type graphics of watching that show, of them trying to be hype and trying to do their thing with no crowd reaction and none of that happening. And you're just like, this is just weird. So I think that that's sort of what they're going to go for as well, is an online type event. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. That's going to be my guess. But right now, reimagine just means in the works, and we'll let you know later.
We will see. I mean, there's been a lot of rumor about maybe E3 dying, but so I'm glad to see that they're at least doing something to change it up a little bit, maybe reinvigorate it a little bit.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what they do. I mean, like this was the second year in a row that Sony was like, now we're cool on E3. We'll let you know when we're ready. So, you know, if more vendors started to kind of do their own thing, it was kind of leading me to believe that maybe things were going to change up anyway, because for the most part, you had PC guys, Sony and Microsoft, and then Nintendo did a little something. Of course, you know, the studios would kind of do their thing, but mostly it was piggybacks off of what the big hardware guys were doing. So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
All right. So Saints Row the Third looks like they might be getting a remaster. A new ESRB listing, this is from Blue News, is now online for Saints Row the Third remastered. I, as you guys probably know, and our listeners know, this Saints Row the Third was probably one of my favorite games of all time, because I like funny games that are just, you know, do outrageous shit, like give you a big 4-foot dildo as a weapon and you go around smacking people with it. And the crap like that just went on in Saints Row was just off the wall and hilarious. It did not take itself seriously at all. It was the anti Grand Theft Auto, you know.
Right. The third is the best in this series, in my opinion, because it was like a spoof of Grand Theft Auto, but at the same time, it didn't go into super goofy shit like Saints Row 4 did.
Yeah. The superpowers you got in Saints Row 4 just kind of took something away from the game, I think.
Right.
So I have it on Steam and I've never played it. It's definitely worth playing.
Oh my God, you got to play this game. You will laugh your ass off.
Okay, I'll play it.
One of the missions is to throw yourself in front of cars to collect the insurance money. And the physics are just freaking crazy. You get thrown way up in the air, and the more hurt you get, the more money you get. It's hilarious.
All right, I'll be sure to play it for sure.
Let's see, what do we got next here? Trying something a little different today to make it a little more interesting for our YouTube viewers, but it's a lot more work for me because I gotta go from window to window. Resident Evil 3 breaks out. That's been released, correct? It's on Steam now.
Yes, it is. I never got a chance to originally play Resident Evil 3, so I'm kind of hyped to play it this go around, especially on the new engine with the new graphics and all that kind of stuff. Like this engine that Capcom has developed is absolutely freaking stunning.
It is.
And it's not heavy on resources like a lot of the other game engines that we know of. Cough, Anvilnex, cough. I'm pretty stoked for this one.
I have to go back and just enable some kind of cheat for Resident Evil 2. Mr. X was just ruining the game for me. Otherwise, I loved it. I loved the puzzles. I loved the exploration. I was really enjoying it until the Mr. X thing.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag cheat happens for the win.
Yeah. All right, let's see what we got next here. The Last of Us 2 has been delayed, huh? This from TechRadar.
Yeah, not surprising. I mean, given everything that's happening, you know, all of the entertainment industry, movies, comics, and video games are getting impacted. So, you know what is great, I guess, silver lining, is the massive backlog we all have. So I'm bummed that it's going to take a little longer, but, you know, I've as everyone knows, I've only recently played The Last of Us, so it's still fresh in my mind, but it's been out for a number of years. So I'm sure a few months delay won't hurt anyone by keeping everyone safe and give everyone a few more months to go through their backlog. I'm still looking forward to it. The hype is still there.
I'm kind of saddened a little bit because I was so crunk for it. But I mean, if what they're doing is going to make it a better game, then I'm with it. So,
I love the action. Just take your time. We'll be here.
Right. It's like, but don't take too much time.
Yeah, I really want to play this, but I want to wait for it to be on PC so I can play it in the best possible way on the best platform.
Well, that kind of makes me wonder if the first game will come to PC since it's been confirmed that Horizon Zero Dawn is coming to PC.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I'm sure. I'm not sure. I'll guess that. Oh, now that I'm thinking, let me think out loud. I was just thinking in my head. I wonder if they will coincide. No, they won't do that. I'm wondering if they were going to hold off, or if they're going to hold off, if this is part of it, for the PlayStation 5 launch and make it a launch title with that.
It's possible. I'd heard rumors of something else going on with that particular title, though. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. I'd also, speaking of PlayStation 5, I'd also heard rumors that it was delayed because of overheating or something.
Yeah, I heard that. More fans are needed.
Yeah, I mean, they could probably rework the chassis and do something with the cooling and probably still keep the profile that they were initially going for, but if they need more time to get that right, then I'm with it. I was gonna buy one anyway. I ain't buying no fucking Xbox. So
that's right. I keep forgetting. I wonder if they could address that overheating issue with just like a little liquid metal instead of your normal thermal paste. That costs a fair bit more, but it might be a simpler solution.
It's possible. The thing is long term, don't you have to refresh liquid metal? Or once it reaches a certain temperature, doesn't it run the risk of like kind of running down stuff?
Running out.
Could be bad. So if they aren't using a vapor chamber now, that may be a way to get around it. I think the Xbox has a vapor chamber attached to the APU, but I'm not 100%. I need to hit Digital Foundry and check their footage, but I don't know. I guess we'll see.
So 50,000 Call of Duty players have been banned since Warzone. This is Warzone cheaters. I don't know if they're banning any of the other cheaters in multiplayer, and there are cheaters in multiplayer. I wish they take more action on that as well. I mean, you get one guy in there and you watch the kill cam and you see their sights immediately zoom to someone as they come around the corner and just lock onto their head without overshooting or you know what I mean? Anyone who's experienced it knows what I'm talking about. But apparently they are taking action on Warzone and they've banned 50,000 cheaters, which... That's a lot, but it's also something that's free. I believe Warzone, Warzone is free to play for everyone, right?
Right. Yep. Right.
I was watching a Twitch streamer stream, and he was showing the kill cam, and the guy was literally tracking his opponent through a wall and killing him through a wall. And it wasn't like he sprayed the wall. He was like, then sprayed a bit more, got a bit more, and then killed him on the third shot.
Yeah, when you can watch their sights track them on the other side of the wall. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, come on.
Yeah. The company states that our security teams monitor 24/7 to investigate data and identity potential infractions. The teams review all possible cheats and hacks. That includes identifying the use of aimbots, wall hacks, and more. We've definitely seen wall hacks. Once investigations are complete, we will continue to work as quickly as possible to ban. There is a reporting system. You have to hold tab at the end of the game and look at the scores and then right-click on the person you want to report, and you'll get a drop-down menu, and you'll be able to report them for cheating.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I like to cheat, but I don't play multiplayer.
Not in multiplayer, though.
Like multiplayer is overrated for me. Like, I'd much rather be able to hop in and hop out whenever I want. So, if I were a streamer, I would not risk my account for that type of stuff. I would just find a different game if the cheating is rampant in the game that, you tend to play. So.
Yeah. Well, Star Citizen is in the news again. They've raised an additional $17.25 million. Who keeps giving them this money? Where is this money coming from?
I asked the same question. I literally looked at like Picard and was like, who's giving these guys money?
How much funding does this need? I feel like this is a game that's been in production for like 10 years or so at this point. It's felt like forever. Maybe I'm just going a little crazy over it, but the amount of money that it's raised total, though, is a little insane.
It's the most expensive game ever at this point.
Right. It's what, 7-8 years since they started that Kickstarter?
We were talking about this in 2012.
The original AFK podcast, we were chatting about this.
Right.
I was an original backer. I threw him like $150, and I think it was 2 years later, I'm like, I'm out. Give me my money back. Like, I'm done.
Yeah, I think I still have $60 in that pot for whatever the regular edition is.
Oh, yeah. I want to see what they come out with, because now it's just a train wreck that you can just watch coming down the track, and you're just waiting for it to crash.
Yeah, I mean, as a beta backer or whatever, I'm pretty sure I can dig out my account and still download whatever they have ready, but last time I did that, they had like 50 gig patches every week. And I'm like, I'm cool on all of that. It's not that serious. So I'll just wait. But what can you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's good. I hope it's groundbreaking. I really do. Because otherwise it's just a scam if it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I want to play the game. I want to play the vision that they have for this game. But I don't know. I'm not going to give them any money at this point. So the WHO, the World Health Organization, is urging us to stay home and play video games. That's no problem. I've been social distancing since before it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
So staying home and playing video games is easy for us, right?
I've been practicing for this moment my entire life.
Yeah, it's led to this, your entire life, this moment. Yeah, like you had mentioned earlier, I mean, we've got a backlog of games to get through. I've got a ton. Dead Space is just one of them. I've got Dead Space 1, 2, and 3 to play still, so
I've got so many, like 1,000. And I'm still going on this. Last time I was talking about creating an arcade cabinet. So over the last 2 weeks, I'm trying to do this right. I'm trying to do it legally. So I hit up Craigslist and Facebook and Kijiji and go out and buy the games and the systems so I can then go download the ROMs, because I'm not spending time ripping them, and the firmware. And then I'm trying to build it up. I'm going to have like another 10,000 games that I'm never going to play when all's said and done.
Wait a second, I just realized something. The WHO is the same organization that said gamers had a disease called gaming addiction. And now you're telling us to stay home and play games?
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. Like, people are addicted to a lot of different things, and games are just one in a trail of a million other things they can be addicted to.
Yeah, yeah. We discussed it at length both on this podcast and then the short-lived... what was the name of our podcast?
BFK or Tech Talk? Tech Talk?
No, it was the other one we were doing. That doesn't matter. Current Geek or something like that. The Critical Geek. That's what it was.
Critical Geek.
Yeah. Well, Blizzard is providing 100% World of Warcraft experience buff to players in order to encourage them to stay home. So if you ever wanted to roll that alt and level them up to 100, now's a good time to do it. I'm still not resubbing, but...
Nope.
It's a good time to do it.
That's exactly what that sounds like. It was like, hey, you still got your WoW subscription. You want to play some more? Here, we give you a buff. Like, double your XP.
Oh, no, that sub is finally canceled now. No accidental one more month. It's done. There's nothing.
Yeah, I've kind of been cool on WoW for a while now, so I'm good. I got a lot of other stuff I want to do, so.
I'm going to wait and see how this next expansion is with the level squish. I want to see if they change some of the things that were really bugging me about this last expansion. And we'll go from there. I mean, I've purchased and played every expansion since then, but the last few expansions, I haven't been able to stay in the game. You know, I play for a couple months and then I'm done. And that's not how it used to be for me. And WoW, you know, during Wrath of the Lich King, I was playing WoW almost every day.
It was like, I lived and breathed World of Warcraft, and then it was towards the end of Cataclysm. I was like, you know what? I couldn't do it anymore. Mist and Pandaria was like starting to come out. So there was no more interest in it with the way the direction of the game was.
Yeah, so it kind of sounds like we're all in the same place with it for the most part.
Pretty much. Well, I don't know if you guys heard, but Randy Pitchford did a bad thing.
No.
You don't say. Oh. Okay, what happened?
Shocked.
Apparently, he promised Gearbox pays their developers below the average wage for developers in the industry. But instead of that, they get these bonuses based on how well the game does. Well, apparently the bonuses that were promised to developers, they're not getting them. So he stiffed his developers, essentially.
If I understand this correctly, it's not just a bonus. It's royalties. And the difference is royalties are forever, and a bonus is a one-time thing. So it's not just a one-time payment they're getting fucked on. They're getting screwed royally. Come on, I got this at that. Again, screwed royally. All right, anyway.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the article here. Is Gearbox in Quebec?
They have a studio in Quebec, yes. Oh, okay. Relatively new, last year or so. I think it was 2 years. But yeah, so the big problem is the messaging. And the problem I have with the whole article is that there's got to be documentation. There's got to be employee documentation that lists the criteria, lists the royalties, and lists the milestones. That's what normal things are. It's almost contractual to say, hey, when we hit this, you'll get this. And so it should be easy to say, okay, did we hit this or not? It should be relatively black and white. So that's what I'm missing from this whole story. The crux of the accusation is what I'll say right now is Randy, over the last year and a bit, as they were doing crunch for Borderlands 3, was saying, hey, you know, here's your golden carrot. Here's all the royalties you're going to get. Come on, let's do this, gang. And then it comes out. It becomes profitable. It meets sales expectations. It becomes a high-selling game. And then he goes and says, oh, yeah, we still didn't meet our projections, and we still had some extra charges in there that we hadn't accounted for. So your royalties may not be as much as what we originally said. And for me, that's like, hey, shit happens, but let's go back to the contract and let me see the numbers. So I'm a numbers, I'm a data guy. Just show me everything, make it transparent, and then we'll see.
I just figured it out.
Oh.
So, of course, it released on the consoles. That was a normal launch, right? But on PC, it was an Epic exclusive for, 6 months?
Yeah.
There are a lot of us that was like, fuck no, I'm not buying it over there, right? So of course you're going to sell fewer copies, which would in turn make your numbers look smaller than what it was, which means that if you didn't hit those stats at a certain time, according to the paperwork that Logan was just talking about, of course your bonus is going to be smaller because of the time frame. So, and not only that, but when it did finally come to Steam, it was half price.
Yeah.
So, and get this, if they took money to put it exclusively on Epic Store, then I don't think that you would think that they probably aren't obligated to include that in the sales stats for the game. So the company got a gang of money that wouldn't count towards the amount of money towards the sales stats, which would in turn affect the employees' bonuses. Now, this is all
the
speculation.
Company?
Right.
You,
this is all
mean
speculation.
Randy.
Yeah, yeah. This is all speculation. But I'm willing to bet that once they dig down into this story and somebody gets the info, I would not be surprised if this is kind of what happened. We'll see, though.
Now that you mention that, I'm like, yep, 100%. It's obviously there's some sort of financial remuneration for putting it as an exclusive on the Epic Store. So where does that money go? And I'm going to guess that during the creation of the contract, Epic wasn't really talked about way far back. But doesn't Randy have a hand in Epic as well?
I am not sure.
I'm not sure about that.
Okay, I'll leave that out. But yeah, I can't see that having been a consideration of it. What happens if it's created as an exclusive? Because during its development time, there is no talk of exclusive. It was only when it came down the last few months that they said, hey, we're going to release on Epic Store as an exclusive. So, yeah, I can totally see that. Just line Randy's pockets a bit more.
Yep. Well, that's it for the news this week. Don't really have a topic other than to keep up with what everybody's watching to pass the time during this terrible time we're going through right now. What is everybody watching or what are you streaming?
Have you guys watched The Tiger King?
I was about to ask that. Oh my goodness. Wasn't it like one fucking hell of a roller coaster? I watched the first episode. I was like, what the fuck did I just start? Pardon my language. But seriously, like, oh man.
I haven't seen that yet, but everybody's telling me to watch it, so I'm going to have to check it out.
I'm on the outside. I'm on episode 4, and I could care less. Like, it's weird, and you're like, what the hell is going on? But I have no connection or empathy to anyone on that show at all. Like, I'm just like, you guys are all weird, and I want nothing to do with your kind of lifestyle at all.
Oh, no, I agree. I'm just like, I'm a sucker for a good documentary, and I used to live in Florida for like a good long time. And granted, like, I only vaguely remember Joe, the Tiger King dude, but like, I don't really recall Carol, but it was just, it's really crazy when I think about it, especially in Florida where you have a lot of these animals and whatnot. It's like, this is really a thing.
Yeah. It made me madder towards rich people. Like, y'all got way too much money when you're all doing this. Like, dude, that's messed.
It's because they're not NPCs like us. They're the actual players.
That's right. We're the NPCs. And
we're the NPCs.
They're the main characters.
Just wait towards the end.
Oh, God, I've heard.
Isn't it like, how many episodes is it?
7, I want to say.
Okay.
It was a good, like, time waster for a day. I will give it, maybe I'm giving, like, Tiger King too much credit and it's just the quarantine getting to me, but it was a good, like, time killer for a while.
Yeah, it's 7 episodes and I've already got it on 1.3 speed, so I might have to up it to 1.5 if I'm going to make it to the end, because it's just killing me. I'm just like, it's just meh. what else? I told you guys last time, like, we've been digging out the 80s and the 90s stuff. So Die Hard, we watched at Christmas, because of course it's a Christmas movie. We watched Die Hard 2 last night, Die Harder. I mean, how can you not go for a movie sequel like Die Harder? We watched Speed, Commando, And one other Schwarzenegger movie, Predator, was a while back. We're waiting on
Conan
Rambo.
The Barbarian.
Conan, we watched Conan. Yeah, that was awesome. It was not as good as I remembered, but it was still a good story. So we're plowing through all that. And I've been waiting for Disney Plus to make good on their promise to bring back The Simpsons in the correct format. Because I think we spoke about this before, that in the current way it's on Disney Plus, the screen crops and it will actually crop out parts of jokes that you won't be able to see or understand.
Oh, okay.
So you need the original to get the stuff in there. So that might be coming up next month in May. So we're waiting on that to start to go through that. I tried to get him involved in Star Wars TNG, but man, that first episode is just...
You mean Star Trek?
I might
Trek?
Skip the whole first season. Yeah, what did I say?
Yeah, and a million nerds just screamed out in anger.
I said Star Trek. I might just skip the entire first season, go right to season two, because that first episode... I mean, it's good for adults, I guess, but for kids, no way.
Yeah, the first episode's weird. But I mean... Yeah. You don't need to watch that until you watch the last episode, because then you'll understand the last episode.
Yeah. Have you guys been watched Discovery at all?
No, I don't have cable.
No, that's CBS streaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
All Access?
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant Discovery Channel.
Oh, no, Star Trek Discovery.
Okay. How is it? Is it good?
I like it, especially that first season. The second season, it kind of went in a different direction, but it's still some interesting science in it. So, I think I need to, I don't think I've watched the third season yet. I need to resub and binge watch it, but I may just wait for them to do season four and then sub for a month and binge watch both seasons. So, I like it. I like it a lot. It may be, worth checking out if you like the exciting Star Trek, where it's not so dry. You know, you actually have like starship battles and people dying and explosions and shit.
It's more
gritty.
Have you
seen Picard?
I was gonna say, yeah. I haven't watched it. Have you guys seen Picard?
I have.
No, I don't have CBS All Access. I don't want to pay for another streaming service. I'm hoping that eventually this will just be available through CBS On Demand or on DVD or something, so I could pick it up that way.
Yeah.
How is it? Do you like it? I gotta hear this, because I've heard very polarizing views.
Uh-oh.
I actually really enjoyed it. Now, I'm not like a big, like, huge Star Trek fan, but I really appreciate, and like, when I would catch a Star Trek episode on, I could really enjoy and appreciate it. And Picard was always one of, I don't know, a character I really liked. And I really, there's ups and downs, don't get me wrong. But overall, I really liked it. And I think it's a very strong start. And I don't know, it's just, I don't think it was what a lot of people expected.
It probably expected like a spin on Discovery, where mm-hmm. he's like karate chopping and kicking ass and shooting phaser, and it's like,
yeah,
you realize he's an old man, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think this, in the direction where it's going, I really liked a lot of, I don't want to spoil a whole lot, but characters that have appeared and tie-ins to, you know, the older Star Treks and everything, and continuations of some little important keynotes and whatnot, which I can really appreciate. So I really enjoy it. When you watch it, let me know what you think.
All right, will do. I've seen the first episode, because they were allowing people to watch that one at no cost to try to pull people in.
Mm-hmm. It was like on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. There's what, maybe 10, 15, 10 to 12 episodes?
I think it's about 10.
Sounds about right. Okay.
But hey, I mean, no better time to check it out, so... I watched Sonic. Has everybody seen Sonic? That beautiful, glorious...
No, not yet.
Oh, man.
Is it good?
It was cute. I think as an adult, it was definitely aimed for kids. As an adult, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, certain things that I'm just like, wait, that makes no sense whatsoever. Like, the teleportation, between characters. And I'm not talking about like through Sonic's abilities and whatnot, but just in general, it's just some of the editing is just way weird. But Sonic was definitely really cute. I enjoyed the character.
I've been watching Jack Ryan on Amazon Prime with John Krasinski, based on Tom Clancy's books. It's really good. I don't like that they changed Jim Greer's character. He's not an admiral in the TV show. But I don't know why they did that. But other than that, I've been liking everything about it. Now, the books themselves are based in the 70s and 80s, you know, Cold War era type stuff. So they've moved it forward and made it more modern, and it deals more with terrorism and the war in Syria. But with, you know, with the same characters based on Tom Clancy's original books. So it's been really good so far. I've been enjoying it. Very interesting. I'm almost done with season one and looking forward to season two. I didn't think John Krasinski would, you know, because it's Jim from The Office. I didn't think that this would be a role for him, but it's he plays it well. Anything else? Anybody?
No, not really. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm trying to find out when The Boys season two gets released, because I've been waiting on that. Have you guys seen the original season one that's on Amazon?
Nope.
No, I've heard really good things about it, though.
That's like a corporate superhero type deal?
It's, I'll let you say yes until you watch it, and then you can
revamp. Isn't
it
more
that.
Like
so
an anti-superhero?
It's almost, I don't know how to say it. It's a take on superheroes that modernizes it and makes it more applicable to the way you see people really act in real life. And so it gets dark.
That does sound
interesting. There's nothing redeeming about it so far. So season one ends in a pretty, pretty weird place, and season two is supposed to pick off right away. But yeah, it's yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll have to check that out.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, speaking of Amazon, did you get a chance to finish season four, the expansion?
Yes, I did.
Oh, I gotta watch.
I did. I can't wait for season five. Season four was very good.
Yes, it is. It is.
I'm not going to say any spoilers, but it was very good. I don't know. This won't be a spoiler, but there's one character I was sad to see go, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah. I love that series, though.
Yeah.
Like, it's.
I started listening to the book series on Audible.
I didn't know there was a book. Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a book series because it's based off the book. But yeah. I'm a sucker for a good space opera. And this right here hits on all of the right cylinders, because it's got a different set of physics and realism in it, aside from what you would expect from, you know, the fictional Star Wars and Star Trek, where they try to mix in fiction and some realism too. So, yeah.
Yeah, you watch the space battles and you watch the ships, and it's kind of how it would really work if that's if it was real life. So that's really cool. And the what I really enjoy is the depth of the characters, and they've really done a good job developing the characters, and they really have depth to them, and we're learning more and more about them as time goes on, and it's pretty deep, which I really like.
Yeah,
losing my voice. Well, that's all I got. I do want to acknowledge that we've got a lot of friends in the chat room this week. What's up, everybody? We really appreciate that. Barman Prodigy. Jerry Gamer, Linux Crypt, Fire Duck. Good to see all you guys. Thanks for being here. Anybody got anything else before we get out of here?
Is anybody watching Westworld?
You said season one's available somewhere?
Well, apparently HBO is going to be streaming a lot of its stuff or what have you. I put a link in the Discord chat there.
Good.
Real quick. I linked it before, but... I can't remember what I said before about Westworld season one. I thought so, but I think because this coronavirus thing, HBO is going to let you watch a lot of their stuff, or if not all. But anyway, if you can watch Westworld, it's really good. I know some people, they couldn't get past like season two or so, because the timeline skips gets a little weird and a little confusing, but this season three so far has been absolutely insane and really, really good. That's all.
All right. With that, the AFK Podcast is a production of the 10-6 Gaming Community. You can find the AFK Podcast at theafkpodcast.net. There you'll find links to our Steam group and more. Join Discord. Join our Discord. There'll be a link in the show notes. We're always on there talking about PC gaming and other stuff. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you to everybody in the chat room. And go check out Penguins on Proton. And with that, we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Peace.
Bye.
Peace.